Once upon a time, there were four little rabbits.
How old are you, Johnny? She asked.
16.
We few, we happy few, we band of brothers.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
A wise old king once said, "Of the making of books, there is no end." How true today. Of the overabundance of writing published each year, what's worth reading? The answer is simple. Read only the best. Come join the discussion on Just the Best Literature.
Well, hello again, everyone. Thanks for listening in today. Well, I have no comments. And again, I sometimes think that's a good thing, but I really would like to hear some comments on the last several programs that we've done. I know you're out there listening. Now, for today's program, I want to continue my discussion of Charles Krauthammer's superb essay, Are We Alone in the Universe? Now, even though this essay was first published in the Washington Post on December 29, 2011, this is still an up-to-date topic, and I think you'll even see that with this second program on the essay. Now, the big question puzzling the mind of many, are there other advanced civilizations in the universe? Or is the Earth the only life-supporting planet in a vast universe of planets? If you are tuning in for the first time, you can find the essay, Are We Alone in the Universe, on page 124 of Things That Matter. And I do recommend that you get the book and also read the essay. Now, last time, we were kind of finishing up on this question, why is there no answer from advanced civilizations? If you go back and listen to that program, if you haven't listened to it, I suggest you do it. You can do it either at thetrumpet.com or on SoundCloud. But there are some really expert scientists that believe the reason why we're not getting any answer from the, you know, all the technology that we're developing, you know, to send out radio waves, to hear radio waves, to, we've built these amazing telescopes for millions of dollars. Even the newer telescopes are looking for, you know, signs of oxygen. They're looking for signs of civilization, like buildings. They're looking for, you know, colors and biomarkers and things like that. But why aren't we getting any answer? And I just want to go back to something I read last time. Charles Krauthammer was talking about these two scientists. There was the Fermi paradox, and this scientist said, "Where is everybody?" I mean, they know there are billions of planets out in the universe, and the universe is so vast. Where is everybody? Why aren't they answering us? And then there was another scientist that developed the Drake equation, and it says that if you put all these factors together, when you look out into the vast universe, you see all these planets, you put all these things together, there's this Drake equation. It's all very mathematical. It suggests that the number of civilizations should be very high. But the frightening question is the Earth the only planet that has, well, civilization on it? And, that just puzzles scientists. Krauthammer says, so why the silence? Why is there so much silence? And then he repeats what Carl Sagan said, and Carl Sagan isn't the only one. And Carl Sagan thought that the answer was to be found tragically in the final variable, the high probability that advanced civilizations destroy themselves. And of course, then Krauthammer brings this out. He says, in other words, this silent universe is conveying not a flattering lesson about our uniqueness, but a tragic story about our destiny. It's telling us that intelligence may be the most cursed faculty in the entire universe, an endowment not just ultimately fatal, but on the scale of cosmic time, nearly instantly so. Krauthammer is talking about, you know, we look at things in terms of light years. And, the distance in space is absolutely incredible. And that even the telescopes that are, you know, circling the Earth, they're seeing events that happened thousands of years ago. The light is finally reaching Earth. And essentially what Krauthammer is saying, look, we have to take a look at ourselves. Scientists are afraid they're not going to find a civilization. But I think what Krauthammer says is we need to look at our own civilization. And are we going to blow ourselves off the planet? I just thought that this essay is really good. And of course, what Krauthammer believes is the solution is that we need better politics. That's what he really thinks. that we need better politics. And he just says this toward the end of the essay. This would be page 129. He says, rather than despair, however, let's put the most hopeful face on the cosmic silence and on humanity's own short, already baleful history with its new Promethean powers. Intelligence is a capacity so godlike, so protean, that it must be contained in discipline. This is the work of politics, understood as the ordering of society and the regulation of power to permit human flourishing while simultaneously restraining the most Hobbesian human instincts. In other words, he says, it's going to be politics that saves us. I don't agree with that either. I mean, if we just look at what's happening in the United States and how divided we are as a nation, you know it's just not going to work out unless there's something really drastically change that happens, you know, in people's character, really. I just wanted to add to this now. Again, Krauthammer's solution is better politics. And I think I said last time, last program, that seeing the National Geographic magazine and then also reading Krauthammer's essay really got me, you know, interested in doing this. So I have written an article for the Trumpet.com, and it may appear later in the Trumpet magazine. I'm not sure what the editor-in-chief is going to do or need to do. But I wrote an article. It's called Are We Truly Not Alone? And the point is that there's some events at the end of 2019 that I thought were really kind of fascinating. And it really has to do with the U.S. Department of the Navy. The subscript of my article is, Are We Truly Not Alone? And the answer is, it's true. We're not alone. But it's not as science and UFO enthusiasts think. Now, one thing that rocked, I think, the science world is probably, in some ways, I think it's a good thing. It's gotten our minds, I think, back into the universe. But the U.S. Navy came out and admitted that UFOs are real. I'll just read you the very introduction to my article so you can see how this all happened. I start out, again, this is available at thetrumpetunderline.com, and it's just been posted up in the last couple of weeks. But here's how I opened the article. It says, UFOs are real. A spokesman for the United States Navy confirmed so in September 2019. In part, this was done to quell the controversy begun in December 2017 when the New York Times and To the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences, which is really a UFO research organization, they released two of three Navy F-18 gun camera videos for public viewing. The videos show Navy pilots encountering strange globular objects that move through the air in ways that mystify experts. And when looking at the videos, nearly everyone exclaims, "What are those things?" Now, we have embedded one of these videos into the article on thetrumpet.com, so you can take a look at it. But the Navy, that's a big admission that they really came out and said that they know they're real. The flight engineers and the pilots that worked with that saw these things, these aircraft or these spacecraft, they defy the known laws of physics. They have them on film. They know they're there. And, of course, the Navy was kind of forced to come out and make a statement. But they in some ways, they don't want to call them UFOs anymore. And I bring this out in the article. And they want to call them UAPs. And, of course, that means unidentified aerial phenomenon. Here's why I think they did that. I said the Navy doesn't want to call these things UFOs anymore. According to Navy officials, these difficult-to-explain flying objects, new monikers should be unidentified aerial phenomena. And I said, I think the unidentified aerial phenomena terminology is used because it provides the basic description for sightings, observation of unauthorized or unidentified aircraft that have been observed entering and operating in the airspace of various military-controlled training ranges. They're concerned about them. They didn't necessarily want these videos out because they can't explain it, and how can they protect you from it? But I think that's what's going on. But I also think is they want to call them UAPs because they don't want you to believe that they think there's little green men have visited Earth. You know, that they don't want to stir up the UFO enthusiasts that believe that aliens have already visited the planet. essentially what's happened is this has brought up a lot of concern. A lot of the public are concerned about government cover-up. And, of course, ever since, I think, 1947, when there's supposedly this spacecraft captured in Roswell, and, of course, then there's all this out there about Area 51, and that's at the air base in Nevada. I mean, the government has been covering things up. And even in January, Fox News reported that there is another film of a 2004 incident between the USS Nimitz and strange unknown aerial objects, but they don't want to release the public records. They don't want to release it to the public. So this is just really, I think, stirring up the whole interest in it. But one thing, while doing research for the article, I did find out that there are a lot of people in America, and I'm sure this is probably very similar around the world, but there are a lot of people that believe that alien life does exist. Here, I'll quote again from my article. This is an addition. This is talking about a Gallup poll. This is just a very recent Gallup poll. And I think all of this was stimulated because of what the New York Times did in terms of releasing these videos. 49% of Americans think that people like ourselves exist elsewhere in the universe. That's 49% of Americans believe that. That's amazing. But here's what really stunned me. It says even more Americans, 75% to be exact, believe that some form of life exists on other planets. So it's not just a bunch of crazies out there. We know the scientists are looking for life. I mean, these are bright, intelligent men, engineers, men and women engineers. They believe that they can find life. They look out at the universe and they think, you know, there has to be life out there. It is kind of fascinating for all of it. But the point is, again, last time we asked the question, and this is what frightens scientists, is that could the Earth be the only place that has life? That's the only planet with all the billions of planets out there, all the real estate out there. And the point is, I don't worry about little green men showing up at my door. I don't worry about being taken off and being examined. And there's so many things like that. Some UFO enthusiasts, I should say it that way, that they believe they've been taken up into spacecraft and all that. But there are mysteries to the universe, and I believe they have been revealed. And I know this is going to seem laughable to many scientists, but I really do believe it's all revealed in the Holy Bible. If you think about the Bible, if you look at the very first verse, it talks about the creation of the universe. And it talks about a great creator God that created the universe and the earth. And it looks like it was all created at the same time. And the word there, that very first verse, it says heaven. It really should be translated heavens. So it really is speaking about the universe. So the Bible is really a chronicle, or it's kind of like a chronicle of the history of the universe. And there was a time, we know from science, we know there's a time that matter didn't exist, but yet it does exist. I talk about this in my article. I'm just going to read a couple quotes here. It says, to many men of science who trust implicitly in the theory of evolution as the truth of origins, that statement is laughable. Unfortunately, the majority of the great minds of science have been buffaloed by the unprovable theory of evolution. There exists an all-powerful creator God who created all things. Because of intellectual vanity, many of the brightest men of science have closed their eyes and minds to the only source that has the true answers to the great mysteries of the universe in which human beings are destined to play a major role. Now, I also believe that the Bible explains the origin of UFOs, or as the Navy calls them, UAPs. And really, I mean, I am not, saying that the technology is a bad thing. I think, as Jeremiah Jocks brought out, the Hubble telescope has given us an even better picture of our future. And it's given us a better picture of the universe to see how vast and massive and absolutely incredible it is. And so that technology has really helped us see things. All of you, I think, out there know that the Philadelphia Church, we do follow the teachings of Herbert W. Armstrong. We consider him the most important theologian of the 20th century. And he did write a book, and it's called The Incredible Human Potential. And you can have a copy of this book at no cost to you. There's no obligation for you to join us. There's not going to be any follow-up. But he wrote this book called The Incredible Human Potential, and it really does talk about the universe. In fact, the first seven chapters talks about God's plan for the universe, and it talks about why the universe is in the state it's in today and how God plans to use man to fix it. And so, when we look up at the sky at night, and, you know, we have dreamed of, you know, traveling to outer space. We have dreamed of going to other planets. Well, in a few years, that's going to be possible for us. But there's a way that God's going to do that. And Mr. Armstrong, again, the first seven chapters of this book are just incredible. Here's one quote out of it. It says, "The maker of mankind is also the creator of all. On a clear, cloudless night, one may behold the star-studded sky. Is it possible there is an unrealized connection between the galaxies with their mighty suns, their planets, and man?" Now, he asked that question at the very beginning of the book. And I go on to say, Mr. Armstrong devotes the first seven chapters of this book to explain why the vast universe has billions of unfinished, decaying planets, and why Earth is the sole planet in the universe with life. Now, I read this book probably, well, maybe, 40 years ago. And it's every time I pick it up and read it, it's still very thrilling to read. Now, again, what Mr. Armstrong talks about is thrilling knowledge, and it really has everything to do with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Now, the thing is, I should probably qualify that to say the true gospel message of Jesus Christ. A lot of gospel messages you hear today are not the gospel of Christ. This is something Charles Krauthammer didn't understand. Here's another quote from the Incredible Human Potential. And I think I have time. I might read two quotes. Let me just read to start with this one first. It says, "But does human life or some other form, either much superior to man or much inferior, exist on Mars or any other planet?" And he goes on to say, "Science does not have these answers." Now, when Viking 1 had its Mars landing in July 20, 1976, I mean, I remember watching about the pictures and everything in the news about it. But Mr. Armstrong at Ambassador College had these pictures sent right into, the Ambassador Auditorium. He was there. He got up early in the morning to go see these first pictures. And he says, "These pictures show clearly to us precisely what is revealed in the Word of God." And he quotes Romans 8, verses 19 to 23. I'm not going to read that to you here, but he used the Revised Standard Version. And it says, "All is waste, deterioration, the condition of decay. There appeared no evidence of any sign of life of any sort or conditions that could sustain life." And you need to study those verses and take a look at it. Now, he goes on to say, "All indications are that only our planet Earth is a life-supporting planet. Others appear to be like our moon, dead, decayed, wasted, and empty. Our Earth is part of the solar system, which is part of a single galaxy called the Milky Way. There are many other galaxies on beyond ours. They extend into space distances so vast the human mind cannot conceive of them in terms of miles, meters, or any measure of distance except light years." He said, "But it will not remain this way. God created mankind to be born into his family and finish the creation of the universe and rule it as God's obedient sons and daughters." Now, that's astounding truth. And again, Mr. Armstrong takes about seven chapters and goes step by step by step to explain it. Science rejects it. But the thing is, if you're willing to open your mind and let God reveal things to you, help you to understand things, it really does give you a lot of peace in your life. Like I said, I don't sit around and worry about some aliens knocking on my door. I don't sit around and I worry about, what's going to happen in the universe. But I do worry about what man's going to do to man. I mean, that's a concern. But I know God has a plan. And, the point is, in another book that Mr. Armstrong wrote, and again, maybe this will help explain UFOs, is in Mystery of the Ages, he talks about that, you know, that there's a different dimension, you know, in our physical universe. There's another dimension, and it's a spiritual dimension. And, you know, I think this definitely, you know, explains what's going on with the UAPs or the UFOs. And I'm going to read to you from Mystery of the Ages. And again, you could have this book. It's offered to you free as well, no cost to you. There's going to be no follow-up. No one's going to come knocking on your door. He says in Mystery of the Ages, it's a mystery to almost everybody, but the Bible reveals a very real but invisible world, another dimension, as some choose to call it, existing along with our own, absolutely indiscernible to our five senses. It is the spirit world. And so from that sense, for all you listeners out there, we're not alone in the universe. You know, there are millions of angels out there, and we know from the Bible they were created. But we also know there was this superb, probably the highest angel ever created, named Lucifer, who, you know, turned rebellion against God. He was established here as the king on the earth. He decided that wasn't enough for him. He wanted the whole universe, and he and the demons, you know, anciently went up to heaven to kick God off his throne. And, of course, they failed, and that brought the whole destruction to the universe. And, of course, maybe they didn't understand it at the time, but God was testing them to see if they could help him finish the universe, and they proved that angels just didn't have the high enough character to do it. And so that's why God chose to make man. God also gives us, I think, an insight into potentially what could be a UAP or a UFO. And you have to go to the book of Ezekiel 1 to find that. And again, you know, scientists could scoff at that all you want. But if you go to Ezekiel 1:1 and you study verses 4 through 28, you're going to see that, you know, here the prophet Ezekiel was by the river of Kabar, and Christ came to call him a prophet and give him prophecies. And Christ showed up in this amazing spiritual vehicle. And it was so amazing, you know, that Ezekiel couldn't even explain it. And, of course, Mr. Gerald Fleury has written a booklet called, you know, Ezekiel, the End Time Prophet. And, of course, you can have that book free upon request as well. And, again, no follow-up, no obligation to you. But I'll tell you, you need to understand that booklet. And this really gives us insight into what the Navy could be seeing. Here's what Mr. Fleury says in his book. And it says, Ezekiel saw this great luminous vehicle with wings and revolving wheels moving at lightning speed. It never had to turn. It would move instantly in any direction. Men had never seen anything like this. It looked like torches or lightning darting around. This was quite a vehicle, so awesome, Ezekiel had trouble even explaining it. Has anyone else ever had such a vision? Wrote Mr. Fleury. Doesn't that sound to you the same description of what they were saying, you know, the Navy pilots were saying? You know, they were talking about these things. Well, what are these things? It's amazing what these things are doing. Now, I don't believe the Navy pilots were, you know, given a vision from God as Ezekiel was. But certainly Satan and his demons certainly do have the means to show off amazing vehicles they may have access to. The vehicle that showed up, you know, for Ezekiel was, looks like it was driven by cherub angels. And these are fantastic angels. You know, they were part of the machine. They are part of the vehicle. And you know, even Ezekiel 10 talks a little bit more about it, where, you know, it seemed like Ezekiel got more understanding of it. Why would Satan do that? Well, obviously, you know, Satan is he's full of deceit. He's been trying to, you know, destroy man from the beginning of man's creation. And certainly he would like to deceive everybody, you know, out there to think that the alien life exists out there. And really, mankind is the solution to the problems in the universe. You know, there's all this decay and you know, look at our moon. We know our moon, you know, has been destroyed by, you know, some devastating, you know, conflagration. It's said in the Bible that God's heaven is in the northern sky. And if you look at our northern Milky Way, it's black. There's not a lot of stars in it. And so, you know, could it be that when, you know, Lucifer and his demon angels went to take God's throne, that, you know, they destroyed part of the universe as they went or came back? And we also know from the book of Revelation, in this end time, that Christ and Michael, they had to kick Satan out of heaven again because he tried a second time to take the throne from God. And now we know they've been cast to this earth. They're held here now until, obviously, Christ's return happens, and then he's going to solve, you know, their problems. He's going to give a final judgment to angels, and he's going to, you know, bring his saints into the first resurrection, or we'll be the first ones born into the family of God. And after we, you know, fix up the earth, after a certain nuclear war that's ready to come, and then we're going to go out into the universe and fix the universe. And so all this is there available for you if you'd like to read it. And again, it's really fascinating. And so Charles Krauthammer really was a deep thinker, and obviously he didn't know all the answers, but certainly we can be inspired by what he writes, but we can be even more inspired by what God reveals about the mysteries of the universe. And we are, human beings are universe beings, and it's no wonder that we are so excited about what we see in the universe, because we're going to go out and just, even as the prophet Isaiah says, we're going to go out and plant the universe. Well, that's all the time we have for today's program. Next time, I'll delve into another essay by Charles Krauthammer, and I will have another special guest with me. So we are now moving closer to the end of our series titled A Tribute to Charles Krauthammer. We are reading selected portions of his book of essays titled Things That Matter. Now, there is still some more to come. So you can buy this book at Amazon.com. You can find a used copy of the book at abebooks.com. And, of course, you can also check your local library. So please write me any comments you may have to jbl@pcog.org. You can follow JBL on Twitter at jbliterature1. You can also follow JBL on Facebook. Simply search for Just the Best Literature. So until next time, keep reading.
You've been listening to Just the Best Literature on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, streaming online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.